Behind the Arc, a look around the country in college basketball. Behind the Arc, hear about the week's biggest storylines, from blue bloods to mid-majors. Go in-depth on the week's biggest matchups, bracketology, and which small conference schools should be on your radar. Behind the Arc, here's your host, Joel Silverberg.
Welcome to the Behind the Arc podcast. My name is Joel Silverberg. Thank you so much for checking out Behind the Arc, whether it's on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, 99.1, thesportsanimal.com, or on the Sports Animal app, powered by Big Kahuna Wings, the wings that changed it all. Means a lot that you would take the time to listen as we are, well, we're officially in October, which means basketball season starts next month. November 25th is when the season is set to begin, just a two-week delay, but after a long offseason and no NCAA tournament to conclude what I think would have been an exciting finish to last year's college basketball season, it is nice to be able to say that we are less than 2 months away from the start of the college basketball season, and there has already been some rivalry talk throughout the course of the offseason as earlier this week, John Calipari at Kentucky kind of gives the assertion that Louisville doesn't want to play Kentucky, and the biggest rivalry in the state of Kentucky may not happen this year. And so you've got Cal saying that the Cardinals don't want to play Kentucky. You know, is there a scheduling conflict? What's going on there? And so Chris Mack, you've probably heard the video by now, but if you haven't, just take a listen to this. Louisville head coach Chris Mack firing back at John Calipari on the idea of whether or not the Cardinals and the Wildcats are going to play this season.
Cards fans, your fearless leader, Coach Mack. I keep getting asked, Coach, are we playing the game? Are you scared? Are you a chicken? You won't play Kentucky? As for the UK series, here's the thing. I want to do what's most convenient for John and his program. You do believe that, right? That I want to do what's best for John? Never mind the fact that we had a December 12th mutually agreed upon date to play the game. And never mind the fact that they backed out of the 12th because they were returning from London on December 6th after playing Michigan. Thought it was too close to the 12th. Never mind the fact that that December 6th game got canceled. No trip to London. Can we play that game on the 12th? Never mind the fact that they scheduled Notre Dame in lieu of playing us on the mutually agreed upon date of December 12th. Never mind the fact that they called ESPN and tried to change one of our ACC games without our knowledge or permission. Never mind the fact that Coach Stoops and his football program at the University of Kentucky honored that request in football to move Louisville's home game from 2020 to 2021. If you can do it in football, seems like you could do it in basketball. Never mind the fact that the University of Cincinnati asked us to do the exact same thing that we're asking Kentucky to do. And we honor that request. Listen, I don't want to stand in the way of college basketball's best rivalry. Whatever is most convenient for Coach Cal, we'll do it. See you in the Center. Go Cards.
So some strong stuff there from Mack. And, of course, this comes after Calipari and Mack weren't able to agree on the idea of playing the rivalry game at a neutral site this year. Mack had suggested that playing at a neutral site might work better since the Yum Center in Louisville could have restrictions on attendance with COVID-19, and Calipari didn't like the idea of doing that. So Mack suggested the idea of moving it to a neutral site game because it would be more fair. And now they've gone back and forth, and Calipari has since responded to Mack's video by saying, all right, see you on December 26th. So is a game happening? Well, it seems like it. So Louisville and Kentucky, one of the biggest non-conference rivalries in college basketball, could be happening sometime in December. Originally, they were scheduled to play on December 12th. Kentucky canceled the game because they were supposed to come back from London playing against Michigan on December 6th, and they didn't want to play the Cardinals 6 days later. Well, that Michigan game, as you heard, got canceled, and then Kentucky still didn't want to play that game on December 12th, instead opting to play Notre Dame on that same day. So an interesting back and forth here, and it would seem odd. And of course, I don't think it's actually a matter of John Calipari not wanting to play the Cardinals. I think for Calipari, he's 11-2 against Louisville all time, and they have won both meetings with Chris Mack taking over. So I think for Louisville, Chris Mack's going to do some good things there. And I think this is a season where Louisville could take a jump forward when it comes to surpassing Kentucky in terms of a state championship. But Calipari, he has found ways to defeat Louisville. And so I don't think he's afraid of playing the Cardinals. But it is funny to hear that response from John Calipari and Chris Mack, for both of them trying to figure out what they want to do for the upcoming season. And David Cobb, who you've heard on this podcast before, kind of teamed up with his colleagues at CBS Sports, and they suggested a number of things on what they can do to figure out how to get those teams to play this season. They threw out the idea of playing at a neutral site, like what Chris Mack was wanting to do, the idea of double home and homes, of having two games in one arena, two in the other, where Kentucky would host Louisville in 2022 and 2023, and then alternating over the course of every other year. So their idea for 2020 was for Kentucky to play at Louisville without fans in the stands, and then next year in 2021, play again at Louisville under the circumstances that fans are in the stands. Because that's the main idea of why Mack wants a neutral site game, is why should we host it when our fans potentially can't be there? They threw out a best of five series, which I think would be chaos. And then, of course, the favorite idea from the CBS Sports staff is have an eight-team state tournament in the state of Kentucky. And that would include some fairly decent group of five teams or non-power conference teams, with Murray State, Morehead State, Northern Kentucky. You'd throw in Western Kentucky, Eastern Kentucky, of course, Kentucky and Louisville. So I think having something like that would be a lot of fun. That is something that Cobb has been a big advocate for, is to have state tournaments. And I think when you look at Tennessee, now's a pretty fun era where you could have a state tournament in the Volunteer State. You'd have Tennessee, you'd have Memphis, you had Vanderbilt, which would be the big players. Austin Peay, Belmont were some pretty decent non-Power 5 teams, some mid-major teams that had a pretty decent season a year ago. You have so many options with all the Nashville area schools. You have Middle Tennessee State, you have Lipscomb. I think there's just a number of options that you could have there. Of course, Chattanooga, ETSU, which would have been a tournament team after winning their conference last year. So I think for the state of Tennessee, it would actually be a lot of fun to be able to check out a state basketball tournament. But obviously, these are just ideas throwing out. None of these will probably happen this year. But Kentucky and Louisville going back and forth, unable to come up with some sort of agreement. It seems like they've got it all sorted out, but wanted you all to hear that. A pretty strong response from Chris Mack regarding the Louisville-Kentucky game. And two teams that did come to an agreement for a non-conference game this season that I'm really excited about, Baylor and Gonzaga. That was news that came out over the summer. Then it was thought, okay, would the opportunity for both these teams, since they're both in the Jimmy V Classic, could they play against each other in Orlando? Because they weren't scheduled to play each other for the Jimmy V Classic. But if two teams in two different tournaments down in Orlando at the same time, could they schedule a game just on an empty court and do it pickup style and just play a game against each other and have that as an official non-conference game? Well, that's not going to happen with Baylor and Gonzaga, but they did schedule a non-conference game for December 5th at Bankers Life Fieldhouse in Indianapolis, where the Indiana Pacers play. So they're not going to play at a home site for either team. Instead, Baylor and Gonzaga are going to head to Indiana, and they are going to play a neutral site game there. So Baylor coming from Texas, Gonzaga coming from Northwest, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun. These are two of the widely, depending on what poll you look at, regardless of the poll you look at, these are two of the top three teams in college basketball. It's a big 1-versus-2 matchup in a lot of polls. Gonzaga still widely considered a national title contender despite losing Philip Petrushev. Baylor, with so much coming back after Jared Butler and Masi Teague opted to withdraw their names from the NBA draft back in August. And so for some polls, that put Baylor as the number one team in the country. And then Gonzaga, of course, with Corey Kispert and Joel Ayayi deciding to withdraw their names from the draft, they are back. And now you've got two title contenders that are going to go head to head. Despite being in the Jimmy V Classic, they're not going to play each other. So they're going to meet up in Indianapolis on December 5th, and they are going to go head to head. And I think this is great stuff for college basketball. I think it's great for both programs. It's an opportunity for both teams to build their resume. And for Tennessee, that's really interesting because Gonzaga is already on Tennessee's schedule. That's who the Bulldogs are expected to play in the Jimmy V Classic. And for Tennessee, you see, you get a really good measuring stick of what this Gonzaga team is made of with games against Baylor and the Vols. And I think for Tennessee, you look at that as, well, if you beat Gonzaga and Gonzaga beats Baylor, what does that say about Tennessee? We've already heard so much about the expectations for the Volunteers this upcoming season. We've heard Gary Parrish of CBS Sports join Sports Talk earlier this summer, our 3-7 show on the Sports Animal, and say, you know, I don't know if Tennessee's a Final Four team right now. They're not going to be projected to be one at the beginning of the season, but I think they could play their way into being a team. And seem to kind of agree with assistant coach Desmond Oliver's comments that the Vols could be playing in the very last game of the season, which would mean the first ever Final Four appearance for the University of Tennessee. So the Volunteers having an opportunity to put a resume together, I think, is really important for Tennessee. And you're seeing a lot of good things here with the non-conference schedules because that gives Tennessee the opportunity to build its own resume. The SEC and Big 12 Challenge is still expected to be played in January, which means the Vols, as well as the rest of the league, are going to have an opportunity to build their own resumes. And that makes those conference games that much more important because just having conference schedules, well, it's really difficult to figure out, okay, so who's actually worthy of a 1 seed versus a 4 seed? Because we see that even in the power conferences. You can win your conference and be a 5 seed. You could win your conference and be a 1 seed. So what do we use to figure out the metric to determine the difference between the 1 seed power conference champions and the 5 seed? Well, the non-conference resume is a big indication of that. And there could be some recency bias since you're typically playing your non-conference games before the turn of the calendar. And it can be a couple months in the rearview mirror the last time you played a non-conference game. And for Tennessee, that may not be the case anymore with having the opportunity to play in the SEC Big 12 Challenge and having more quality non-conference games to play in December. So for the Volunteers, it opens up more opportunities to continue to pad the resume and to prepare themselves for what I think will be a really competitive Southeastern Conference this upcoming year. The SEC, speaking of which, has announced that late December will be the start of conference play in men's basketball. So December 29th and the 30th will be the first 2 days of conference basketball games, which is a little earlier than they're used to, but that'll be a month, roughly a month after the season starts on November 25th. And it will allow a window for teams to get some conference play in before the SEC Big 12 Challenge, which is set to be in late January, and then the opportunity for teams to get more games in during the month of January, and then trying to move forward after the SEC Big 12 Challenge getting into February. And so all Division I programs will be permitted to begin practice on October 14th. They'll have 30 practices between October 14th and November 25th. The Pac-12 is still trying to figure out its plan because originally it said we're not going to have anybody play before January. Now it has kind of given the AOK that it's going to allow teams to start on November 25th with the rest of the country. Now it has to figure out what it's going to do for a conference schedule. So Tennessee, it will begin SEC play at the end of December and then get back into conference play in January, have the SEC Big 12 Challenge, which I would love to see Texas finally be on that schedule. Kansas was on it last year. I don't think Vol fans would be upset if Baylor was the opponent for Tennessee. I think it would be a lot of fun to see that in the SEC Big 12 Challenge. We've seen Kansas State a couple times, and I think that's not the matchup that you're looking for if you're Tennessee. But Texas is interesting because you've got Rick Barnes' former team. Baylor and Kansas are interesting because, well, with Kansas, obviously, it's a blue blood program, but you also have an opportunity to get some payback for what happened last year and the year before that as well when they played in the early non-conference portion of the year. And then Baylor, getting to take on one of the best teams in the nation would be a lot of fun for Tennessee fans and for the Tennessee program. So there's a number of games that would be really interesting as a matchup for Tennessee when it comes to that SEC Big 12 challenge. So for the Vols, there's more opportunities, more non-conference chances to build up the resume as we get closer and closer to the start of the season. Again, November 25th, next month, that is the start of the college football season, and it should be a lot of fun. As we mentioned the Jimmy V Classic, Baylor has a really tough schedule, by the way. We've already mentioned Gonzaga in Indianapolis, but before that, that's kind of the last of these five big matchups. Jeff Goodman pointing this out earlier this afternoon. Baylor's first five games of the season, November 25th, they're going to take on Michigan at the Mohegan Sun, assuming that event gets played. It's scheduled right now to be the start of the season on November 25th. So November 25th and 26th, Baylor would be set to play Michigan and Villanova on back-to-back days. Then 3 days after that, on November 29th, it is scheduled to face off against Seton Hall. Now, Seton Hall doesn't have Miles Powell. It is still a really good basketball team, and Kevin Willard probably would have made his first Sweet 16 at Seton Hall had there been a tournament played this past season. Now he's got to find out a way to do it without a dynamic point guard in Miles Powell. December 2nd, the Jimmy V Classic. Of course, Rutgers has pulled out. That's kind of been the big news coming out of the Jimmy V Classic. So Baylor thinking, okay, can we play Gonzaga? No. Well, now we're not even playing Rutgers. So the Big Ten there's been rumors of a potential Big Ten replacement for the Jimmy V Classic to take on Baylor. That would be Illinois. That is Rutgers is still a really good basketball team. That is a monster step up from Rutgers to Illinois, especially with Io DeSunmu and Kofi Coburn both coming back to the Illini and Brad Underwood's team. So really tough schedule. And then 3 days after that, you go from Orlando to Indianapolis and you play Gonzaga at Indy. So Baylor has a gauntlet of a schedule early on in that season. So Baylor's going to have an opportunity to really showcase its resume, especially if it comes out of there. If we're talking five games and Baylor's 3-2, I think you're going to be really impressed, assuming the losses are to Villanova, Gonzaga, you know, maybe Illinois. But if you beat Michigan, Seton Hall, and you go 1-2, or better yet, 2-1 against the others, and if we're talking about a 5-0 Baylor team, they'll be the number one team in the country by the time we get to the second week of December. This is a really deep, really talented Baylor team. Gonzaga's going to be really good. Villanova's going to be really good. And the fact that Baylor's playing both those other two teams in that top three that have been widely considered throughout the entire offseason, the runaway best three teams in college basketball, and based on rankings and polls, I haven't heard anybody actually say this, but it feels like there's a gap between 3-4 after you go down the line of Gonzaga, Villanova, and Baylor in whatever order you want to. It feels like whoever is number four, it feels like there's a bit of a chasm there between those three teams and the rest of the country. Tennessee trying to play its way in to that sort of category and that sort of hierarchy in college basketball for the upcoming season. They have an excellent amount of depth. They've got great talent coming in with the freshmen. And for Tennessee, it's going to be, I think, similar expectations to what we saw just 2 years ago with Admiral Schofield, Grant Williams, Kyle Alexander, and Jordan Bone, four guys that are now playing in the NBA who are not with the Tennessee Vols anymore. It's going to be those similar type of expectations where Tennessee is going to be expected to be a top 10 team, compete for the SEC, and potentially make a run at the program's first Final Four. You heard Chris Dortch of the Blue Ribbon College Basketball Yearbook a couple weeks ago on this podcast say Tennessee's a top five team and definitely a Final Four contender. And Tennessee's going to have an opportunity to prove that when the college basketball season gets started just next month. I appreciate you checking out the Behind the Arc podcast. Again, follow me at Joel Silverberg on Twitter. Follow the radio station at Sports Radio WNML. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please hit that subscribe button. Leave a 5-star review. If you have a question for the podcast, either leave it in your review or throw it out at Joel Silverberg to me on Twitter, and I'll get to it in the next edition of the podcast. Thank you for listening to Behind the Arc on the Sports Animal.
Behind the Arc with Joel Silverberg on the Sports Animal.